And once again, this is the Blob, along with my co-host, King Cow. And you're here for another edition of Vinyl Rhetoric.
Hello, hello, hello.
Howdy, howdy.
I'm joined once again by...
The Crafty DM.
Hello, why are you sounding so sexy? Are you trying to seduce me?
But I got the Barry White voice going.
Yeah, bow chicka bow bow. It's totally like, hi, I'm the Crafty GM. Yeah. DM, do you want to DM me?
Yeah. Play some Dungeons and Dragons.
Oh, okay.
Now it's creepy.
Nerd sex. Yeah. I don't think I've ever told you this story. One time, my brother and I, we were playing Nerd Alert. You guys might want to turn off for this nerd talk right now. My brother and I were playing Magic, and we went to a card store to play a tournament. And before the game, we'll play little games because people bring their own decks, but we go to a draft, and so you end up drafting cards.
Yeah.
And there's packs, and you just pass them around, and you draft. You know, you get your deck, and that's how you play with what you draft. And there's eight of you, and we played one or two drafts a night. And so we also bring our own decks and play. And so we're waiting for the tournament to begin. We sign up, and they need eight people for it. And I don't know, it was like $10 or something, pretty much the cost of three booster packs.
Yeah,
and my brother and I are talking, and we might have been playing a game, but there was another guy there that he was playing, and we were talking by this time. We weren't playing anymore, and the three of us were all married, and as we're talking, we're just kicking back, looking. This semi-hot chick walked in, and okay, when I say semi-hot, she was attractive as I remember, but for... the game, she would have been like an 11 for the gaming store.
Yeah, most of the nerds would have been speechless standing there. Yes. Staring.
Yes. If they noticed her. So the three married guys saw, oh, there's a hot chick. And we all looked. What happened? We looked around. Not one of the, and they were probably ranging from 14 to 22.
Yeah.
Not one of them looked up or noticed her, and we all looked at each other and just started busting up. It was so funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was surreal.
Yeah.
Because it was the typical nerd not seeing a hot chick. It was like maybe they thought that was a mirage and they didn't believe it was real. Nope, they never even looked. Didn't when you see someone come in, yeah, usually you just casually look to see who came in. They were so focused on their nerddom that they did not see a girl.
This is their universe. This is their set place.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. It was quite funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. I might mention that next time we play D&D again.
Oh, yeah.
I'm a total nerd. Yeah, I might mention, ask my brother, because I know he remembers it.
Yeah.
Every once in a while, we still talk about it, because it was quite funny. I mean, I don't know how much of a nerd you were growing up.
Oh, I was. I was. And I, for me, being a nerd, it was, I had a group of friends that I actually gamed with, and most of them gamed with me, you know, on the weekends, you know, after school, all that stuff. But they didn't even want to associate with me when I was at school.
Because they didn't want to associate with you because you were that nerdy?
Yeah, probably because I enjoyed the game so much, talking about the game and things. They were afraid I was going to say something in front of other people.
So may I ask what games you played?
Well, I played Dungeons and Dragons.
Okay.
I played Traveler. Let's see, what else did I play at the time? When Gamma World came out and it was new, those were like the first three that I got hooked on. I could list tons of games after that, but those were the first three when I was in high school.
I've always liked playing games, and a lot of the time it's hard for me to find someone that wants to play or someone that's available to play.
Oh, yeah.
I love chess. I can't find anybody to play chess. and it's something that you really have to, you can't just say, hey, let's play chess, and then 15 minutes later, okay, we're done.
Oh, that's what happened with our group, actually. A bunch of us took over the chess club in high school.
Nice.
And it started as the science, it had to be a slash club. So it was the science fiction book club slash chess club. And then everybody who showed up started talking with each other, and they're like, oh, yeah, I like science fiction books. Yeah, yeah, and yeah, I kind of like chess. And all of a sudden, as soon as it mentioned Dungeons and Dragons and Traveler, the group just like doubled or tripled by the end of the year.
Wow.
and we weren't buying the, you know, usually like just like the record albums, you know, you could get the science fiction book club,
mm-hmm.
and you could, you know, spend like pennies and get like a dozen science fiction books. And we weren't even ordering those for the club anymore.
Awesome.
But yeah, it was a pretty cool club at the time. So
yeah, for me, I mean, I played Monopoly a lot. Risk. I played a lot of Risk. Mm-hmm. I played card games.
Oh yeah, Risk. I love playing Risk. Yeah, I played a lot of those games with my brothers.
Uh-huh.
And then I got pretty good at Risk. That you know, a lot of my neighborhood kids that I played with, they didn't want to play with me anymore.
Well, so. Yeah, when you get the when it's, I don't know,
you cash in the right cards, you get a bunch
of
armies.
Yes, I'm trying to think. It's like the sixth time, and you get 37 armies, and then you just start, you roll through everyone, and you are already getting your five extra armies because you controlled North America.
Yeah.
Or you started with South America, and you were always getting two extra armies because all you had to do was block off Brazil and Central America. And you could just, or Australia, you only have one, you have a choke point.
Yeah.
So, okay, I'll put mine here. And then someone, oh, I'm going to put one there too. Well, then next thing you know, when you get to place all your armies, you put them all there and you wipe out whoever's, and you take over.
Yeah. Then there's just a big swath of your color across yes. the map. Yeah.
Yeah. I did like playing that game. Mm. If it was a game I would, and someone introduced it to me, I'd play anything.
Oh yeah,
we had friends that we'd go outside and we just invent games. So I think this is the difference between you and I. I was also athletic.
Yeah.
So I wasn't total nerd.
Yeah.
And I was good at sports. I was good at baseball. I was good at basketball. I was pretty good at soccer.
Yeah. The only ones I was good at I didn't try out for the teams. Well, I in junior high I made the cross country team, but the school I went to, it was like 90% of the kids
made the team.
And it was, I mean, 90% of the class. So literally you'd go to a cross country meet with the kids in junior high, and you know, they'd have like five people there for their cross country team. And you know, we'd have like
65. Yeah. Yeah. For me, I mean, I played soccer and I went to college and played soccer, and I went after college and played soccer. So it wasn't something that I had an issue with athletically, but I also, like, I don't know if it was the competitive nature. I remember me and this one guy, we had a soccer game in Bermuda. So we took off, we flew out of probably San Francisco. And when I never played backgammon. And they had paired us up with guys. So I was sharing a room with this one guy, and he wanted to play backgammon, and I was sitting next to him on the plane. We play. I don't know if you've ever seen The Gods Must Be Crazy.
I'm trying to remember.
It's with... and the Coke bottle falls out of the sky. Oh, okay.
Maybe
you probably haven't
it.
Seen it. The Coke bottle falls out of the sky, and this tribe that had been living... the start of the movie, a guy's flying a plane.
Yeah.
He throws a Coke bottle out the window, and it's just like a little prop plane. Yeah. He throws a Coke bottle out of the window.
Oh, and it's about how the Coke bottle influences...
And the tribe freaks out, and they're like... all of a sudden, the tribe that never had an issue with possession, everybody wants this Coke bottle. So they can use it to... They're using it to crush nuts or whatever they were crushing. They're using it to stretch skins and... Everybody wants to use this Coke bottle, and it's so great. And so they get one of the tribesmen, and they say, you need to take it to the end of the world. And so there's a big chasm somewhere, and it's somewhere in Africa. I don't know where, but it's somewhere. And so he has to go trek all the way across the continent and throw it into this big canyon. And it's all the travails along the way. Well, the reason I bring it up, there were this one, I don't know what they were, because they weren't tribesmen. They had guns, and it was some village or maybe a despot like Idi Amin or something.
Oh, yeah,
His little band.
Little dictatorship or yes. Banana Republic.
So there was two guys that they would be sitting in the back of the Jeep, and no matter where they were driving, the two guys were always playing cards. So everything's happening, and they just kept playing cards. Well, that's when I went to Bermuda. Me and this guy, we played backgammon all the way there. We ended up sharing a room. We played while we played all our downtime. We didn't really go out. I mean, we were only there. It was for it's called a CONCACAF, and we had one game against Bermuda, and then they were going to come to our home park and play us.
Oh, cool.
So. We were totally like that, but I'd never played backgammon. Oh, I take that back. I had played backgammon, and the only reason I know, because my friend Rozo, when he hears this, will say, "You played backgammon, dumbass." There was a girl that when we were in high school, she had a nice figure, and she was leaning over, and we were playing backgammon, and we played several games, and my friend, the other friend, thought I was prolonging. We only played one game, and I was prolonging it just so I could look at her boobs. Rozo goes, "No, this is like their sixth or seventh game. We could just kept playing, and because I can play anything. Once I learn how to play, I can just play over and over. Cribbage, checkers."
All that stuff.
Yeah, I just like playing games.
Yeah, I can play that stuff. I haven't played a lot of that in a while. And we played a lot more of the bullet board games and the stuff by Avalon Hill.
Avalon Hill?
Yeah, when I was older, probably in later years in high school, because I spent my high school years separated. So 2 years I was down in Huntington Beach, and then 2 years up in Pleasant.
Foothill?
Yeah.
I
didn't go to
Foothill.
Amador. So it was kind of a hard adjustment for me, you know, going from a small school, Huntington Beach was like
stuck up.
No, it wasn't stuck up. It was kind of
laid back.
Yeah, it was more laid back. I mean, there was their groups of stuck up people, but it was more cool, laid back. Definite shock in how the girls dressed compared to coming up to Pleasant.
Hmm.
You know, I'm like, I went from gals wearing short shorts and crop tops to, you know, bib overall, you know,
yeah.
Farmer John shirts and turtlenecks. And so that was a little bit of a shock for me, but no, a lot of the games I had a friend that, would prolong games and how he would do it was we would be playing the game and, you know, as you go around, you tell the next person, okay, it's your turn. And, you know, we kind of thought of him as like this. He was a little older than us, so we kind of thought of him as like this big genius. And in some ways, he was. And he's a neat guy. He all of a sudden he'd be sitting there and he'd concentrate on his turn, and he would always tell us that he was always thinking two or three turns ahead. And so all of a sudden it'd be quiet, and you'd be watching him for like 15, 20 minutes, waiting for him to make his decision on the turn. And then all of a sudden, out of the blue, he'd go, "Whose turn is it?" And we go, "Yours, Dennis." Everybody would just scream at him.
What the heck was he doing?
Thinking, and he'd lose his thought. Later on, I actually found out that he was dyslexic, and so that might have been part of it.
Because
but dyslexia is more of a reading issue.
Yeah, you see in letters backwards or
yeah.
Hmm.
But yeah, it always happened. He would always think things out, and we'd just be patiently trying to be nice.
Yeah,
and
I would say, "It's your turn. It's your turn. It's your turn. It's your turn. It's your turn."
Yeah.
Because I said before, I have one game, and I believe it's Avalon Hill, and it's a chariot race, and it's and James
Circus Maximus.
Circus Maximus, that's exactly what it is. So we played that a lot. I still have that. That's right up there in that closet, and I actually made a copy. If ever anything ever happened, I have a copy of the form. That you have? Did you have to fill out for your chariot? Yeah. So I have that one. I had another one. I want to say it was Alexander the Great. It was something like that. Mm-hmm. And
Alexander.
It might have, yeah, I'm not sure. It's something like that. But I remember playing that one. Holy smokes. When the rules, when you had to do this and this and this, it was very complex.
Oh, yeah.
And all the armies you could have, and then flanking, and then having to retreat or having half value. And I'm like, what?
That's the stuff I got into with this friend that we played. We started playing Ancients before they started making Warhammer miniatures.
Uh-huh.
It was Ancients. So we had to build your own, you know, ancient army, and then you'd pit it up against the others. So I know I had an army of Seleucids, so they're like successors of Alexander the Great. And then, you know, my friend had like a Mongol army, he had a Roman army, and you'd have to learn all that stuff. We would be in there. Sometimes we'd have battles that we would leave up at his house in his garage for days.
Well, my son has some, he could tell you the name of it, but it's some really complex space game.
Oh, yeah.
And it's cool, but it takes a long time to play.
Probably Warhammer 40,000.
No. If you said the name, I'd know the name.
Yeah.
But one of the things, there's, you have 8 different things you can do each turn. You get armies for your turn. Automatically you get armies, but there's 8 different things you can select to do. And depending on what order you are in the selection process, you get a pick whatever. So some of the things are go first. Some of the things are, you get to do a technology. There's a whole, it's pretty complex. And I guess there's I don't know, it's not an add-on, but an additional set that they have made that it was, I don't know, like $100 for just for the cards.
Oh, wow.
That I think my daughter got for him for Christmas one year. But we played it. She's Imperium. Hmm. It's something like that. My son he could tell you what it is exactly.
We'll find out.
But it's pretty fun to play, and it's one of those things that I've only played, I think, like twice or 3 times. It's you get off work and you play, and so Saturday I get off work at 6:30, and setting up and getting everything together. Next thing you know, it's 2:00 in the morning.
Yeah.
It's like, oh. Okay, well, you guys want to just leave it or just, we'll just stop and call it quits? I think we've only finished one game since I played.
Wow.
Because it takes a long time. But it's full. It's really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think you would like it.
Yeah, I might. I might get in trouble for liking it. Taking time away from my wife and my family. She's the one that's kind of doesn't mind me doing the games, but she gets a little annoyed every once in a while, you know. And it was like a big passion of mine that sometimes I have to quash. So
yeah, I love playing games. Yeah. I could play. That's all. I play Magic still.
Yeah.
You can look right there on top of that. Those are all Magic cards that I bought in the last 2 weeks.
Oh, wow.
That I just go online. Oh, I want this one. I want to make this deck. Oh, this is a cool card.
I tried to stay away from Magic just because I knew I would end up spending a lot of money on cards.
Well,
I called it the addiction at the time.
It's totally that.
Gone to game conventions, and, you know, there's events going on all over the place, people playing all kinds of different games. And I remember when Magic first came out, they'd have most of the games wrapping up like 8, 9 p.m. In the evening. And, you know, some people in the hotel rooms and stuff would still be running other games at the convention. But I come out after finishing a Warhammer tournament, and I looked out in the lobby, and everybody in the lobby was playing Magic. And every spare table in every room, people were playing Magic.
Mm.
And I was like, oh my God, this is... Yeah, made a lot of money for the producers of the Magic cards.
Yeah.
I know that.
Yeah, I like playing. Yeah. I mean, I still like playing, but Because the very first time I played would have been Labor Day of 1994. Because, yeah, Labor Day of 1994. Maybe even 93. Might have been 93.
Yeah.
And I think that's the first year they came out. But there was two guys on our team that were playing. We stayed in a... The team rented a house, and we stayed in a house, and they were playing, and so I was watching them, and they said, you want to try? Yeah, I'll try. And it turns out one of them had a store, a card store.
Oh, wow.
So they were playing it, and I mean, I know that's what it was. So it was 93 when I played, and they're showing me, and the only thing I really remember is attacking with, or they had bears, like a 2-2 bear. I'm like, oh, cool. That's a good card. I didn't know anything about them.
Yeah, what's a good card?
Yeah, they said, do this, do this. Well, can I do this? No. Can I do this? Yes. Okay. And so I kind of figured it out. And then when I broke my leg in 95, my brother and I don't know how he found out about it, but he goes, hey, let's. I found this game. And I go, oh, I think I played it. And we would go, we found a couple card stores. And we'd go buy cards or packs, mm-hmm. and then we would make decks, and then we just built stuff up. And the way we played was he would make some deck and have this thing, and my whole goal was, okay, I got to beat this deck. So I would make a deck to play him and beat him. Then once I started beating him, he would do the, okay, I got to beat this deck. And we just went back and forth.
And just try to counter each other.
Yes, to beat each other up. Mm-hmm. And every once in a while, oh, we found a cool card. We want to try making a deck around a card. We didn't care. Everyone's, oh, that's a stupid card. Well, I don't care. We like it.
Yeah.
So we played a lot early on. And then we'd go through spurts. I don't know how much he plays anymore. I think he may or may have not lost all his cards. That I don't know. Supposedly he did, and then he told me he just found them. But so I don't know what's going on with that. So he might get back into it. But I have one of my nephews that he's totally into it, and my brother says that's all he does. He works, and then he comes home and he's on his computer doing that and playing with his magic cards.
Well, I guess I'm kind of trying to do the same thing, because I, now that I'm retired, I'm trying to write Dungeons and Dragons adventures, and I'm making maps.
Yeah, that's totally cool.
Yeah, and so I'm putting all that stuff online. I haven't made a lot of money. I mean, I just started making maps 3 months ago, and I'm just starting to get noticed by some people. So, but I'm, you know, made $30.
That's
$30.
That's $30 that you didn't have.
Yeah, that's true.
Two ways to look at that. I mean, two things to consider. One is you're doing something you love or you're enjoying. I don't know if you love it, but I talked in previous episodes about the Dungeon Master making these totally cool miniatures. You made totally cool, like when you made Hetty's house.
Yeah.
The boat. All this. I mean, I miss that about playing at your house.
Yeah.
So that's one thing. A second thing is you're not everybody's able to follow their passion or to find something that is a passion. When the Blob talked about doing a podcast, I wanted to do one. I didn't know how much I would like it. Uh-huh. Turns out I was like, this is awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, I really liked it. And whatever, 200 and this is going to be close to episode 200. I'd have to look. It's probably around 190 because I think it'll be right around 196, 197. So to realize that you've put out 200 episodes...
That's a lot. Yeah.
I was all excited when we hit 50.
That's sticking to something.
Yeah.
And following it through. So
50 was, I was excited we made 50.
Yeah.
And then, okay, let's do this. Let's do, we made 100. Oh, and so we just kept going. And I'm fortunate that some people have said, hey, I want to do this. And two of the people that I had talked to previously about doing a show or two or more, I still, one of them I haven't talked to, and I plan on talking to her in the next, probably next week. The other one, we were going to do it, and he's just been busy with school. But I think once those two get involved, I'm going to be doing this 5 days a week, five nights a week.
Wow.
Or whatever it is. I don't know. We'll see. I'm enjoying it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm enjoying it a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, I was shocked when you said, hey, I wouldn't mind maybe trying it. What? Okay. I didn't even think that you would, well, not that you wouldn't want to, but I don't know what kind of people or what kind of things people want to do.
Yeah, I'm interested in trying almost anything once. Almost anything. I mean, there's a lot of things.
I'll try some things once and then say, yeah, I really didn't like that.
Yeah, yeah. But, I enjoy this. You know, even as a nerdy gamer, I mean, we were always rolling records in the background while we were playing. Mm-hmm. So,
okay. Well, so speaking of records, did you bring something today?
Yes, I did.
What?
You got to find out. You would probably know side one of this album more than side two. And to be honest with you, when I was younger, I got jazzed with this album, in a D&D game.
And, of course.
And some of the songs in there kind of related to D&D games. But a lot of times I was always over at my friend's house. We'd always be rolling with side one, and then he'd go to some other record or something like that. So I kind of was inspired to take a closer listen to side two.
All right.
Because I'll be honest with you, I haven't played it in a long time. Most of my records have been sitting in a garage. And when I left for the service, my records stayed with my mother for the longest time. And my mother wouldn't let me have my records back.
What?
Because she couldn't remember which ones were hers.
Oh.
Or she's an over-possessed person. Grew up in the Depression.
Uh-huh.
And so you pull out anything. I mean, you pull lint out of your pocket. Did I give that to you? Or...
Nice.
That's the kind of questions. So for the longest time, until they all of a sudden didn't have record players anymore and they wanted to clean out the space, then I took them all.
Oh.
And unfortunately, because like I said, I'm going through with my kids moving into their house, they're still storing stuff in my house. Most of the records are in the garage. And
yeah, I had mine in the garage for a while.
Yeah, it's not the best place for them.
No, it's not. But the way I had, they were all together. They were compressing against each other, so it wasn't like sometimes you just have them. Oh, they're willy nilly, and then they start. They're bending over something, and next thing you know, it looks like a half a moon.
Yeah, the old days. You bring your records over to your friend's house, and then after you finish listening to them, you throw them up on the dash of your car. Or
yes,
it sits in the sun at 120 degrees in the car, or whatever.
All right.
Yeah.
What's the first song?
So, I have to tell you the first
song. Okay, you don't have to.
Yeah.
You don't have to.
No.
If you don't want to.
I'll tell you. It's Little Queen.
Okay.
Now you're hot on the press of the day, little queen, making your passion play, little queen. Nobody knows your melancholy mind. Little queen, away from the sellers, the paper said, you're hot on the press of the day, little queen.
I think I've heard that song before.
Yeah, it used to play on the radio.
I think I've heard that song, but I know for sure I know the group.
Okay.
Because I have at least three albums by them.
Uh-huh.
And I like their sound a lot.
Yeah.
Heart.
Yeah, that's the group.
Yeah. When I had Little Queen, I think I've heard that name, but when I heard them sing, as soon as she sang, I'm like, oh, I know that voice.
Yeah, she's got a distinct signature sound. Yeah.
Just as soon as I started hearing it, I'm like, some thought went in my mind. So, do you know her name?
I don't.
Okay, Ann Wilson.
Ann Wilson.
And do you know who her sister's name is? Nancy?
Nancy Wilson.
Do you know that Nancy's in the band?
The Wilsons, they're not the same as Wilson Phillips, but
no,
they're
no.
But they were related to the Beach Boys, then? No.
I don't know.
No.
I don't know. But, so, there's a movie, Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Okay.
When there's a scene towards the end of the movie when Brad's working for the fish and chip, the pirate place.
Yeah.
And he's wearing the pirate outfit and he looks over the chick and I think she's driving a Corvette, but I'm not sure about that. But she's in a sports car and he looks over and she's hot and she looks at him and she kind of starts to smile and then she just starts laughing at him. And he's like, he looks in the mirror and he sees that he's wearing the stupid pirate hat and he throws it out. Well, that girl in the car next to him.
Was Ann Wilson?
Nope, Nancy.
Nancy.
The sister.
Okay.
The guitar player. She plays guitar for the band.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's just one of those facts that, I don't know how I, maybe when I was looking at credits, I'm like, Nancy Wilson, how do I know that name? Or maybe.
And you did a little research?
Yeah, I diddled and researched. But I like Heart Sound. I liked them for a long time.
Yeah, yeah. I got first tuned on to them, like I said, at a friend's D&D game.
That's funny that you would hear him playing D&D.
Well, it was actually, I was just a player in this game. This is before I was dungeon mastering, but I was just dungeon mastering for like a couple of my friends. And I got invited to, I thought it was really cool because I was getting invited to some college guys that were going to play Dungeons & Dragons.
Ooh.
And in 77, what am I, like 13, 14 years old?
And, so they were going to touch you?
No. But
come here, little dungeon master.
No, I wasn't the dungeon master. I was just a player.
Come here, little player.
No.
Okay, now
so I got invited over to their house to play the game, and we were excited, you know, just because I was playing with older people and it was a different group of people I was playing with. And they ran a pretty cool game, and they were playing a lot of their albums in the background when they were doing it. And then my friend and I, this was his brother, after the game stopped, you know, I stayed overnight at his house, and we grabbed it at that time, this album, and it was his brother's album. And so we put on headphones and we went up to his they had like a den and they had a stereo up there, so we plugged the headphones in and sat down and just started listening to it. And I remember halfway through this album, all of a sudden his brother comes up, "God dang you dorks, give me my dang album, I'm gonna wreck it."
Oh, hilarious. Yeah, that was a pretty good song.
Yeah.
I felt it was pretty stripped down. A little solid bass line, just some guitar licks, but it wasn't their standard song.
No, and you'd recognize, I mean, that probably one of their biggest hits is on the side one of this album, so.
Which is?
Barracuda.
Oh, yeah. Barracuda.
Yeah.
I like that song.
Yeah.
Dun 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 dun.
Yeah, that one.
I like that song a lot.
That was one of the first things I wanted to try to learn how to play in guitar class.
Oh, yeah, I want to learn how to play guitar. Crazy Train.
Oh, yeah.
I.
Yeah, no, for me it was Stairway to Heaven.
Yeah.
And
yeah, whatever, I don't care about that one.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah, I like that song. Yeah. That was a good song.
Yeah, the thing that kind of jazzed me, like I said, when I was like a D&D dork, you know, all of a sudden you look on the cover and they're like all dressed in like Renaissance fair clothes and
let me see.
And things like that. So the front, you know, they look like a couple maidens. On the back, you know, it's like the whole troop in the background.
Oh, yeah.
They got like a gypsy wagon.
Oh, guy holding a bow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's okay.
And I was like, dang, rocker do this stuff?
That's hilarious. Okay, look at the guy with the bow.
Yeah. Okay, he's a model.
I play an archer.
He's probably one of the band members, but I'm guessing.
I know. He's one of the band. I play a ranger. I'm never going to pose like that in our D&D games.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. That's hilarious.
Yeah.
I don't know. Have you ever been to the Renaissance Fair?
Oh, I've been to several.
My mom's been. She one time she went, I think when I went with her, she got a ribbon that said 25th year. It was my first.
Yeah,
it was cool. I liked it. I'd always wanted to go, but a lot of times when it was going on, someone had soccer games, so yeah. He was unable to go. Tournaments and different things. So it took priority.
Yeah, I can understand that.
So. And I do know the one time I did actually go, I was coming back from a tournament in Fort Bragg. With my wife, and they were going to go, so we met him there on the way home and went to Redwood City or wherever it was at.
Yeah. I know they've had them Redwood City. They've had them up near Lake Berryessa.
Oh, they've had them at that place, Casa de Fruta.
Yeah.
They've had it there. I know that some people I work with have gone there.
Yeah. I always felt the first one I went to, that was the only one that I ever went to dressed like.
Oh, you went dressed? Oh, no. Dressed like a normie?
Just like a normal person. Wow. And then everyone after that, I went as, as something. You know,
this is killing me. This is awesome. You're more nerd than I am.
Yeah. I don't have any costumes that fit me anymore.
Oh, I can fit into mine.
Yeah.
Well,
I got like the poofy pirate shirt, but.
You know what Rocky Horror Picture Show is, right?
Oh, yeah.
You know I was Dr. Frankenfurter. Yeah.
Somewhere I saw that picture.
Yeah.
I don't think where I saw it.
Yeah,
that
I'm picture. Sure it was probably all over the internet.
It was probably circulating around work. Yes, or something.
I like that. What's the next song?
Oh, so the next song, it might some of these might be more acoustic arrangements. Treat Me Well. But I have won.
I don't think I would have known that was Heart.
Yeah.
If I heard that song.
Yeah, I kind of like the hints of the haunting harmonica.
Yeah, well, that was kind of cool. Yeah. It sounded like they had a violin going on in there, mm-hmm. or some sort of stringed instruments like that. That was a decent song.
Yeah.
It didn't sound like Heart.
Yeah. It's well, as I go through just to remind myself, looking through the cover on this and the jackets. And I think this album, three of the songs probably got regular radio play.
Okay. So we got three of the songs on the album, or three of the songs on this side?
Three of the songs on the album.
Okay.
Only one, I think, on this side that you already heard.
Little Queen.
Little Queen was probably.
Yeah, I think that might even be on their Greatest Hits album, which I think I have that as well.
Yeah.
Or I have a CD, Greatest Hits.
Yeah, but I prefer some of their earlier stuff. I mean, I know the Hearts came out. Later, you know, a little later with some other stuff in the probably the mid or late 80s.
Uh-huh.
And that album was good too, but it seemed like they had like a gap to me, you know, where they, you know, they weren't probably at the front of the music game.
Yeah. Well, I think that one's got What About Love?
Yeah.
What About Love? Can't you find some love
and have you? Well, I have that album. Yeah.
And I have I think the one with the guy with the eyes so gluey. I can't think of the song. Mm-hmm. I'd love that song.
Yeah.
But I just can't think of the name of it.
And then they have another mellow one like this that there's another album called Dog and the Butterfly.
Dog and the Butterfly. Yeah. Well, Dog and the Butterfly is on their Greatest Hits. Uh-huh. Dog and Butterfly.
Yeah.
Dog and Butterfly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember that.
Yeah, I do like Heart.
Yeah.
Sometimes I look at, oh, I got all these albums. What am I going to play? And I get fixated on, okay, I want to play this, or I'll just start recording stuff. And then next thing you know, I have all these things recorded and I have to decide, oh, what should I play? Oh, I'll do this. Or I know there was a time when I accused the Blob of not liking women singers. So I just played for 5 episodes in a row. I played women singers.
Yeah.
And okay, I got all this. I recorded something the other day, and I'm like, I can't wait to play it. Yeah. I probably won't play it for you, because
play it for the nerd.
no, just because by the time I play one for you again, I'll have already done a couple more shows.
Yeah.
So I recorded it, and it was the first one I tried to record. So I have a new stereo.
Yeah.
It's the first one I tried to record, it was the one I was trying to record when I realized something's wrong with my turntable.
The turntable looks nice.
It's awesome.
Nice, really close to the one that I have in my garage, but I could not find the power supply for.
Oh, really?
Except for yours is red, and mine is fluorescent lime green.
Oh, cool.
So...
Yeah, well,
it looks almost the same.
You might want to go online and see if you can find a power supply.
Yeah.
Mine on the back, it says what it takes, and I think it's 15 volts.
Yeah.
It says specifically, it says...
DC or...
It says on the back, I think it says 15V or 15V DC or something like that. Uh-huh. But it said it, and then when I was reading the manual, it said something about, look for this number, whatever, and it said... And I go, oh, I saw that number, and I know that's what it's for.
Yeah, I'm going to, before I do that, though, I got a massive box of all my kids' junk that has nothing but...
Cables,
power supplies,
yeah,
everything.
Well, the trick is trying to find where it goes to.
Yeah.
Because I have this little CD player, and I was, oh, I want to try and see if I can hook that up just to put a CD, so I can run a CD through it, and... I looked at the back, and I think it says 3 volts on the back. And then I start looking at all the adapters, and this 3.5, 4. And I learned a lesson. I bought a pallet of things, and one of the items on the pallet was a keyboard. Yep. And I don't play keyboard, but, oh, it's kind of cool. So I don't know if I lost, if I couldn't find the power adapter, if it didn't come with one, because it did have batteries, so I could put batteries in. It was like a big Casio, probably, you know, the size of this 88 keys or whatever. It was yeah. decent size. Mm-hmm. I don't know how good it was, but my wife goes, "Oh, here's try this." So I plugged it in and it fried it. So now I'm leery. Fortunately, I didn't play keyboard. And then when I called about, "Hey, can I get this repaired?" You know, the first one I called, they said, "You're better off just buying a new one."
Yeah.
And I'm like, "Well, since I don't play anyway."
I might be able to. I might be able to handle that keyboard issue for you because that's another one of the things that my kids have in my garage.
Oh well,
stacks up. There's probably 6 or 7 keyboards, digital synthesizers. There's a keytar.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Did you ever watch the show Chuck?
Nah.
Oh okay. We watched it, and one of my daughters really liked it. We liked it. Me and my wife liked it. We kind of just started watching. I think accidentally, and then, oh, it's kind of funny, and then we kept watching. So we watched the whole thing, and we have it on disc now. And these two guys, one of them plays a keytar, and it was so funny.
Yeah, my kids went on this craze, and so they're all big into everything 80s.
Uh-huh.
So they started just collecting all kinds of random stuff from the 80s that they thought was cool.
Funny.
And my youngest son, he was in a band for a while, but keeping the band together was kind of tough.
Right.
But I don't know how you'd classify the music. It's all that stuff. Oh, you just like scream death. It's not even death metal. It's
garbage.
Yeah.
It's a waste of your time.
Yeah, but he's got some songs I'll have to show you on YouTube that... Well, a couple of them pretty good.
I'm excited about trying. I recorded two things for, let's see. I recorded two albums. But then when I was looking for some other thing, I found, I got to record. Oh, I want this. Oh, what about?
Yeah.
So whatever I play next for you
yeah.
will be something that I really like.
Okay.
Yeah, there's like I said, a couple that I one oh I know what two I recorded. Yes, I did record two. I thought I recorded two. So one of them I will probably play with Be Silly Discmaster. I know he'll have never heard it. You will have heard it probably. Hmm. And then
Weird Al Yankovic?
No, I have no Weird Al. I might have Weird Al that I got from someone, but I have no Weird Al. Yeah. I never bought Weird Al. I never got Weird Al. I never was into Weird Al.
Yeah,
I was like, whatever. This, I mean, some of the things were amusing, but he looked like a psycho. Yeah. I guess I didn't like the way he looked.
Yeah. No, does that record player play 78?
Oh, so funny you should ask that. When I got so I'm reading the manual, and this is how much I don't want to screw anything up. I don't read manuals. Yeah. I just start doing.
This is the first time you broke out the manual.
So I'm looking at it. Okay, let me see. But okay, to set that up.
Yeah.
I had to. So the lid didn't come on it.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize. I thought the lid couldn't even open. But it does open, and there's screws in the back. So when I open, it will stay open in that open position, which is awesome. My other one, I had to hold it open and then put a record on.
Yeah.
This one, it'll stay open. I can put the record on and then turn it on, and it'll play. Mm. So I'm reading, and the arm, so with a linear tracking turntable, it just goes straight across the yeah. Well, this has got an actual arm. I haven't had a turntable with an arm in... I'm going to say, I think I had one. I had a linear tracking turntable, but I still had I had one with an arm because I was scratching.
Yeah.
I would buy things, and so I'd find mixing boards, and so I just would scratch. Oh, my Billy Joel album. Oh, I just start scratching on Piano Man. Yeah. Not the smartest person.
Yeah.
So I did have one. I had two I had two turntables. One was linear tracking, and then one with the arm. I don't know where that one is. I mean, I may have got rid of it a long time ago, but this one, you have to balance the arm, and it's carbon fiber arm, yeah.
So you have to adjust the weights. Yes. For 78.
So I'm doing all this stuff, and then it says you have to do this, and I'm reading in the manual, and I have no clue. The manual is like, I don't understand this, but before I got it, before I had received it, but after I had ordered it, I had looked online and found, I just watched a video and it showed me how to do it. So I just found the video and I put it, and I did everything they did, and I'm like, okay, it's working. Well, as I was reading the manual, I can take off the platter and then put, then I have to put there's a pulley on there. I can take that pulley off and the band, because it's not direct drive.
Okay.
It's got a band.
Drive band. Yeah.
Yes. So I can take that off. I can put a different pulley on, and then that pulley will play 78s.
Oh, okay.
So, when I found that out, let's find out what I can do.
Yeah.
So I'm looking and looking and looking for the pulley. Well, I find the pulley, and I think I found it on eBay, and I think it came with a pulley and maybe a band.
Yeah.
It was $55. Okay, I can live with that. So as I'm reading more, exactly, it says something to the effect of the way a 78 is shellac plastic or whatever they were saying, the way it's set up, the groove is different than the groove on a vinyl album. And it's showing you a picture of one is deeper, and it says this is what will happen if you play with this needle, it'll do this. So you need a needle to play 78s. So I start, okay, let me look for a needle to play 78s. The first one I found, and it was the one that I saw a suggestion for, and it's the same manufacturer as the needle I have on this, or the cartridge I have in this. It said 400 pounds.
Oh, English pounds,
yes,
to dollars.
Now, I don't know what a pound to a dollar is,
yeah,
but I thought 400 for a needle to play, even if I have 178s, which I don't, I think I probably have closer to 40 of them.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's an investment that I really want to make.
Yeah.
And because I think the pound to a dollar is more than one to one, more than $1 to pound.
Yeah, for sure.
So at 400 pounds, I thought, okay, we'll just say it's $2 a pound. I know because I think marks it was $4 for a mark.
Yeah. So Google's telling me right now it's $1.39 to a pound.
Okay, so I'm looking at $439,
yeah,
for a needle that to play albums that I might not even... I do know there's a Liberace album, but I might not like any of them. So I put I said, okay, hold your horses.
Yeah,
hold your horses, Captain, yeah, King Cow.
Yeah, yeah. I've got tons of 78s, but yeah, at that price, I probably wouldn't either. Most 78s were recorded like in minoral,
yes,
status, and, you know, it was like somebody shouting into a big cone. In fact, I remember that was one of the things that you could do at the World's Fair, was you could go and, like, buy sheet music, and then go into like a booth and sing, and then they would, when you came out, they would hand you your own record that you just cut.
Nice. Sweet.
Yeah, now we got TikTok. So.
Awesome. All right, what's the next song?
All righty, so after Treat Me Well, we got Say Hello.
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 Thank you.
Dude, I like that song a lot.
Yeah, I that surprised me because
it surprised you that I liked it.
Oh no, not that you liked it. I it's really upbeat, and there's something in there. It's I don't know if it's like a I want to say dulcimer, but it's I don't think it's a dulcimer. Okay.
How come all you nerds talk down to me?
What do you mean?
You, the panda. I think it's this. I think it's the blob. A dulcimer? What the hell is a dulcimer?
I don't know. You were talking about a zethra the other day.
A zither. A I was zither. Talking about, I know what that is. Yeah. But I know what it is. What's a dulcimer? You know what that is?
It's kind of it's a four-stringed instrument that sits on your lap, and it's
a dulcimer.
Yeah,
dulcimer. I've heard the word. I know it's an instrument.
And then the other one that I think the panda was talking about, they wanted to know. It's called an auto harp. The teachers, I know, in the '70s, okay. The teachers had it. It had like the keys. It would say A sharp, B, and they would just press on the key and
really
and play and strum the thing.
Interesting.
So
yeah, I'm such a musical, not minority. I'm trying to think. Midget, musical midget when it comes to knowing about playing anything.
I only knew about a dulcimer because my brother had one. So
okay, well, I know about a drum because my brother had one. I know about a trombone because my sister had one.
Spoons. Everybody has spoons.
Great. Okay, or piccolo.
Yeah.
Everybody had to play the piccolo.
Yeah.
My one story that I've told the guy... When we were, I want to say third grade, maybe fourth grade, and I want to see if you have an aptitude for an instrument. And I still remember the kid's name, Danny Kaiser. He was, so they would blow on the trumpet, you would hit the drum pad, and you maybe blow on the flute, clarinet, and they'd have you do things, and they wiped them down. So yeah. it wasn't any big thing.
This was before COVID. I mean, we want to have chicken pox parties.
I was in third or fourth grade, and he went to blow on the horn, and you know how you, I guess he went, and went to blow really hard, and the teacher was holding the instrument, or helping him, and was like right by where the horn was, and he goes to blow so hard. I mean, he blew hard. Yeah. Snot flew all the way out of his nose, all over the teacher, all over the. And I was like, "That is." It was. Looking back at it, it was slow motion, and it was quite funny. But at the time, it grossed me out because now I have to blow after. So I never had. I tried playing piano in college. I took a class. And I lasted through a week and a half before I just dropped the class, or I changed it to pass fail and never went back. Oh. Because I felt like I had three left hands. Oh. I was totally incompetent.
I had a different experience, but mine was for trying a ground school for learning how to fly. I tried that.
A ground squirrel?
A ground school.
Oh, okay.
You know, your first classes, you got to take ground school when you try to learn how to fly. My brother's a pilot, and I was all jazzed about wanting to do it, so I thought, okay, I'm going to try doing it, and I'll try taking it in junior college, Chabot College. It's not Chabot College anymore.
Uh-huh.
And unfortunately for me, I end up getting in the class and sitting next to a judge that I had to stand in front of three times prior for speeding tickets and irregular tickets. Wow. And I just couldn't focus on doing that's class. Awesome. So
you had speeding tickets?
Oh, I've had speeding tickets.
Man.
And it was in a 69 Beetle that looked like it.
You were in the 60, you did 69 in a Beetle?
No, yeah, close to it. But, no, it didn't look like a Beetle.
Okay, 69 Beetle, you were not getting a speeding ticket in.
Yeah, you can.
No way.
Yeah.
Okay. If you're driving 50 in a 25, yeah. you're redlining in a 25 zone.
Yeah. If you're flatting the pedal down and you're going downhill.
My friend had a Beetle, and we were driving to Santa Barbara. We were getting passed uphill by big rigs.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
It was hilarious. Yeah. We were laughing our asses off.
The only thing worse than a Beetle is a 74 Pinot.
Really?
Yeah.
Well.
But
anyway.
But no, I got speeding tickets in a Volkswagen, and then. Officer, my Volkswagen that was a 69 Beetle was converted, so it was a pickup truck on the back end and a fiberglass kit, and then the front end looked like some kind of old 37, 38 Ford, And so it was kind of funny when I was getting pulled over by the police by this thing. How do I write this up? And I'm like, you don't?
Okay, hearing this about you, I've known you for several years. This is like the Blob telling me he liked to tumble. Yeah. You're what? You were a tumbler? Yeah, I did tumbling. What? I've known you all this time. So now you're telling me you're a speed racer. You're driving in a Beetle that looks like something from the Twilight Zone or some.
Yeah, it looks like a little miniature 30s pickup.
That's hilarious. I can't even picture you in that.
Yeah, I had two choices, and at the time, my dad was gonna buy me a car, my first car when I was like 17, and he gave me two choices. My brother was at that time he had a 41 Ford, and he was restoring it. This guy's shop, and so he had a whole bunch of cars on his yard, and some of the cars were cars that he was supposed to project build for people, and then they never came back to get the cars. And so I had two choices at the time, and the two choices were this Beetle pickup, and my dad was standing there encouraging me, just saying, you know, we needed to, you know, like haul firewood and things like that, and like you know, this would be a really good
firewood
one for you.
Firewood?
Okay.
Just living in
and
the
then,
forest?
And then you think about this. You know, this is in the 80s. And what kind of cars
How much firewood did you guys haul?
Hardly any.
Yes.
Yeah. And so, I was listening to my dad tell me that. And the other car I was looking at is like Boss Hogg's car. It was a 74 Cadillac Eldorado convertible.
And you didn't get that?
And I didn't get it.
Dude, you would have been a pimp.
My dad was kind of encouraging me. He says, you could get either car. And my dad was like, well, you know, if you get the 74 Eldorado, you could be, you know, dating the prom queen. No, Dad, I'll be just driving the prom queen and king in the parade.
Yeah. Awesome.
And at that time, you know, all the cool cars were like small. You know, Datsun 280Zs.
Yeah, Datsun 240Zs.
240Zs.
260Zs.
Yeah, all that stuff was heck of cool. And that 74 Eldorado, I didn't associate it as a cool pimp luxury car. Yeah. I associate it as a big old boat.
Yeah, tuna boat. Yeah, I hear that.
I mean, I'd kill for it now because it was white with red interior.
Oh, man.
All white top.
Totally sounds cool.
Yeah, I would have got the cow horns on the front.
Sweet.
But...
So, funny that this whole conversation comes from the dulcimer.
Yeah.
Because that song...
Yeah.
I dug the beat, or the riff that it... I'm air quoting, the dulcimer was playing, whatever. It just sounded cool. It was really... And I'd never heard that.
Yeah. I think it's... Like I said, somebody could probably, you know, rearrange that song and play it now. And
if I heard that on the radio, I'm like, oh, that's a cool song. I would have liked it. It was catchy. For me, it was catchy.
Yeah.
And it sounded like Heart, but it was... And I'm not going to say choppy, but it was like staccato bursts, and it was cool. I really liked it.
Yeah,
I really liked it.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to just say, of the three songs we've played, that's my favorite by far.
Oh yeah,
that's one of those things where you're. How come that was never a hit?
Yeah, yeah.
Because there's some Queen songs that I'm like, why is it? This one's way better than this other one.
I always wondered how I want to ride my bicycle. Queen got as popular as it did.
I don't know, but I love that song.
Yeah, it's a good song, but there's other Queen songs
sing,
that I like better.
Zing, zing, you know, zing, zing.
I mean, that was, We Will Rock You was a rebellion song for me in like junior high.
Yeah.
I mean, literally all the kids, we had in portables.
Uh-huh.
And I know some kids would just start it when we would have like substitutes where all of a sudden they just like
start
stomp,
pounding.
Stomp, stomp, clap, stomp, stomp, clap. Nice. And all of a sudden all the kids start doing it and then...
It's
total mayhem, anarchy. And all of a sudden you got a substitute teacher freaking out and going up to the office and bringing the principal back. So, I think the next song we have would be, it might make you cry. Cry to me.
You won't make me cry.
Ooh, little dreamer stands inside the door. You can't find the easy rhymes of times you had before. And it hurts my heart so bad sitting down so low, so sad. I can't let you break. Cry to me. Cry to me. You better not hide. Let it come. Let it bleed. I ain't laughing. Reach in and get it and set it free. Wine is bitter on your tongue, and people don't seem wild and fine like when you were young. And now you're restless over a stormy ocean, lost in the rain and wind. But we can clear these clouds away and find the sun again if you cry to me. Come on, cry to me. You better not hide. Let it come, let it bleed. I ain't laughing. Oh, no, reach in and get it and set it free.
That one too.
Yeah, it's good. It's a little reflective, a lot more acoustic.
Yeah, and that was, I was listening, I only heard guitar.
Yeah,
it was really clear, mm-hmm, and well played. I mean, at least I thought it was.
Yeah, but that's a lot of times, like I said, you know, sometimes that's why I was thinking about playing side two, because a lot of times I just know that's how it was with my parents. We'd have like big parties with all these people over, they'd play records, but even the LPs, they'd put them on a large like spindle,
right?
And let them play side one.
My dad had the same thing,
you know.
And they just drop down and drop down
and drop down. And so most of the time, you'd only hear
one side
one.
Yeah,
things, you know. So you know, that's good. I like this one. To me, is a little more. It's reflective.
Yeah,
and kind of reminds me of some things. I mean, I haven't heard it in years, but then all of a sudden, when I heard it the first time, you know, before I came over, I decided I was going to listen to some of these records that I hadn't listened to in a long time. And, you know, some of these songs make me reflective, or they remind me of something. This definitely reminds me of
things that you, your past, or
yeah,
a lot of the stuff that I played. Oh, I really like this song. I want to just play it. I don't care if it's a hit.
Yeah.
Or I played Freeze Frame. I love that song.
Oh yeah, I love Freeze Frame.
And like, Angel is a centerfold is also on that side, but she's a. Dun, 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 dun. We would play that side incessantly, and so when I played that for the Blob, I'm like, I just like this. I like this song. When I played Rick Springfield, I like Jesse's. I love Jesse's
Girl.
Yeah. And so I actually. All the, when I play, most of them I play, I like the whole song, the whole side. I think when I played the Isley Brothers, I told Disc Man, I said, just pick a side. And he said, you picked, oh no, oh yeah, for that one, he said, just pick a side. And he picked a side. I go, I don't know either side. So I just recorded the whole album. And so I played the side. I'm like, okay, this is what we got. It was all right. Because I don't know the Isley Brothers. That's something that I got from somebody else, but I recorded it.
That's a little earlier than us. That's like my parents.
Yeah, well, it was. I think that album was their 14th or 16th, and it was a 76 release. So yeah, I'd played early on episode 8, I think I played the Righteous Brothers, and again it's something I got, but I knew at least one of the songs, maybe two.
You Lost That Love and Feeling.
Yes, that was one of them, and there was another one. I think that there was one more that I knew, but I was like, I'll just play this, something different, and it was just I know the song, and let's just hear it. But when I played like the Babies, that whole album, I could play anything off that, and I love it. Yeah. I could have played anything off of the Frankenfurter, Rocky Horror Picture Show. Either side, I could have listened to, but I wanted him to hear Sweet Transvestite.
Have you gone to a show done all the
several? I've never dressed up and been one of the performers.
But bringing the extra accoutrements when they call for tissue
rice,
and all that.
Yes,
stuff.
Yeah. All of it. Yeah, I've done it all.
Yeah, I got to one of those.
Yeah, it's a fun experience. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's everybody's cup of tea, but I like it. It's a great show. Uh-huh. for you know, whatever the cost of the $5 or $8 or $10, whatever mission is for the movie.
Yeah,
it's just something fun. Yeah, once you know what you're getting into.
I always look for it on Halloween.
Yeah,
I look for it on television on Halloween.
Yeah, it's fun. So I have all these albums, and I'm thinking, oh well, I want to play this album. I have several. I have all the Beatles albums. Mm-hmm. And I played one. I played, I almost said Rocky Horror. I played Sgt. Pepper's. And I really like that album. But then I'm thinking, oh, I like Rubber Soul. I like Abbey Road.
Yeah.
I like Revolver. I need to play one of these. I like all the old stuff, like A Hard Day's Night. That album is... It's just when they're younger, so I'm thinking, oh, I got to play this. There's so many things that I want to play that I think I really like. I really either enjoy this song or enjoy this group. So I don't really care what side. If I like the group, I sometimes don't really care what the song or what side I play.
Yeah.
But a lot of times I'm thinking, oh, this song brings back a memory because this is what I was doing when this song was playing. And so I want to play that because it just evokes that, you know, such a strong memory that I just want to share it with other people. And hopefully they get, oh, I remember when I heard that song for the first time.
Yeah,
I still remember.
Yeah, this album came out in 1977, and that was the exact year I got introduced to Dungeons & Dragons.
And I'd say I probably didn't even know Heart yet.
Yeah, I didn't either. I just saw the cover.
Oh.
And we were listening to it.
And you got turned on.
Yeah.
it's a girl, guys. There's a girl in a band. I didn't know girls were in bands.
And they're hanging out with this dude with a bow.
Hilarious. Yeah, I can still... Back in Black. Highway to Hell. I remember when I got that album. And I played that all the time. And Van Halen, when their first album came out, I played that all the time. And the Eagles, when I played that, when I got that, I played that all the time. So some of these things are, I didn't have a lot of albums. And as I got more albums, you know, my listening became more varied. But I remember putting stuff on and going, whoa, that, I still remember the first time I heard 2112.
Yeah.
I was like, this is totally cool.
See, I didn't. I don't think I heard 2112 until like my junior year of high school, and a kid. We had to bring in an album and play one song or two songs on the album.
So he played the whole side.
Yeah, and so they were telling stories, and when I heard that, you know, and then the We Are the Priests, the Temple of Syrinx,
yeah.
And that'll.
No, my brother liked him, so he had a cassette tape. Mm-hmm. And he was playing it. I'm like, whoa.
And it's even better when you hear it on headphones.
Oh, well, he was playing it on a boombox.
Oh, yeah.
And just hearing that was like, wow, this is awesome.
Another one that I know my brothers used to do is Edgar Winter's Frankenstein.
Mm.
That one sounds really cool on headphones. A lot of Pink Floyd sounds cool.
Pink Floyd is... Well, I don't know if you ever heard it. I talked about Pink Floyd. I wasn't a big Pink Floyd fan.
Yeah.
And then when I want to say I was going out with a girl and she said, hey, the planetarium in Oakland, they had a Pink Floyd show and they shot through on the roof and then a light show, laser show. Uh-huh. So she want to go to this. And we went and saw Dark Side of the Moon. And that's what the music was, Dark Side of the Moon. And with the light show, it was totally cool. And one of the guys I played college soccer with in college really liked him. And I'm like, eh, I don't know. And you start listening, and especially on headphones, those dudes are awesome musicians. And yeah. The music is, it's great.
Yeah.
And so I dig it. And so I've seen Pink Floyd in concert. And it's like when Bowie, I didn't like David Bowie. I mean, he was all right. He had songs I liked. I saw him in concert. I was like, this guy's awesome.
Yeah.
he was totally cool. Yeah. So, yeah, it's just, I'm really liking this so far.
All righty, well.
I'm probably not going to like this next song.
I don't know. Okay. I don't know if you're going to like it or not. It's another crying song. It says, go on and cry, or go on cry.
Oh, go on cry?
Yeah. They're into crying. Thank you.
had that been the first song, I don't think I'd know who it was.
Yeah, because there was not any signature voice singing. And you know, thinking about it, it's kind of nice because, you know, now it makes me want to go actually see Heart live or something, because sometimes there's a thing I like about some bands is where they actually, the singer, the lead singer, who's usually the front man and everything that you associate with the band, you know, steps back and lets all those musicians just jam. And that's what that kind of reminds me of. And it's, you know, some people would call it a filler, but sometimes...
I don't know, I like that.
Yeah, it comes back. It has a little hint of... I don't know, it has a little hint of Queen in Sticks.
Yeah.
Kinda, that kind of sound.
Yep, I could totally hear that.
Yeah.
It wasn't displeasing.
No.
It was pretty good. I like that. I don't know. I don't know what number album this is for them.
I think this might be their second.
Second?
Yeah. I don't know.
Second, third, fourth, fifth. First.
Well, this 1977.
I don't know when they came out.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think have they come out with anything after the 80s?
I don't know. I have no clue.
I'd have to check on Spotify.
Yeah. I go to a Google search and go Heart songs, Heart albums, Heart albums. And, Heart albums in order. Dreamboat Annie.
Yeah.
Magazine.
Oh, Dreamboat Annie gets played on the Hawk.
Yeah. Little Queen, Dog and Butterfly, Baby LeStrange.
Second album.
Private Edition, Passion Works, Heart. So the one that came out in 1985 is just Heart.
Yeah.
Which that's, I have that one. I'm pretty sure I have Dreamboat Annie. And maybe Dog and Butterfly.
Yeah.
That's probably what I have. Something like that. Oh, Heart albums ranked worst to best. Let's see. Well, they have 16 albums.
Oh, wow.
Heart presents a Lovemonger's Christmas. I don't know what the hell that is.
Yeah, I don't know if you count Christmas albums.
Desire Walks On. I have that one.
Okay.
That's 93. So I guess that wasn't all their albums. Jupiter's Darling, 2004.
I remember something. For
Bad Animals, 1987. Beautiful Broken, 2016. There's another. I have Heart Brigade, and the only, it's funny, I'm scrolling through. It has nothing to do with the Land album Heart. Name. No, it's the album cover. I'm like, oh, I have that cover.
Oh, yeah.
Brigade, I have that cover. Red Velvet Car, Heart, I have that one. Heart Fanatic. Baby LeStrange. Oh, Dreamboat Annie. I do have Dreamboat Annie because I have that cover. And Dog and Butterfly, I'm not sure. Oh, Little Queen. They have this as their number one album.
Wow.
This is their number one album. Mm-hmm. Interesting. Yeah, it was good. I like that.
Yeah.
I played The Knack. You know The Knack?
Yeah, I know The Knack.
So the first song on the album is My Sharona.
Yeah.
Well, when I played it for The Blob, I played it backwards and said, well, guess who it is? And so I played the last song and the fourth song and the third song and the second song. And so I came to the first song and I just sat there and we talked. And when I started to play it, I just watched. And it was like, dun, dun, dun. As soon as it came, his eyes, he goes, I know who this is. I go, yeah. But he goes, he liked the whole rest of the album, but all you ever hear is
My Sharona.
Yeah. And I only played that side because I really liked My Sharona. I remember when I got the album, this is a cool song. Yeah. Just, there's songs that I have bought the album just for one song and figured, I'm sure I'll like other songs. And then there's some that I just, I like this group and I bought the album. Yeah. I'm sure I like the group. I'm sure I like this song or all their songs on the album.
Then you always got those bands that were either fighting or broke up during an album, and then everything's scraped together, and you're like, two songs sound like them, and then the rest of it's like...
Well, when the Police recorded Synchronicity, they were fighting, and they had to record in separate rooms because they were going to kill each other. Well, Andy Summer was... Andy Summer and Sting were having...
Major issues.
It was Andy... I'm saying Andy Summer. Andy Summer's the guitar player. Stuart Copeland. Stuart Copeland and Sting were battling. And so, but all three of them, they had to record in separate rooms because they were, I don't know if they were at a house or something. They were doing something, but they were, and they broke up right after that. I can't imagine getting to that position where they hate each other that much.
I think the same, a lot of that happened with Fleetwood Mac, too, didn't it?
Yeah, well, they were banging each other, though.
Yeah.
I know that was going on.
Yeah, that was, yeah.
So, yeah, I don't like you anymore. Oh, this is awkward.
Yeah. Oh, now we got to write a song about our relationship.
Yeah. But I enjoyed that.
Yeah.
That was a good bring.
Yeah. Brought back memories for me, and I'm glad we threw on side two. I mean, side one is fantastic.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, I like Barracuda, so I don't know what else.
Kick It Out is another one on there.
I don't know.
Go on and kick it out.
No.
No,
I might know. If I heard it, yeah, I might know it.
That's another one that was getting played on the radio.
Well, Barracuda I hear all the time.
Yeah, you know, that
Barracuda.
Opening. Yeah, that initial opening.
Barra.
Yeah.
So every time that, you know, there's songs that come on and, I have to crank. That's one of those ones I crank it up because it's a cool song.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when I was driving home today, there was a song that which happens to be, whenever I hear it, I like it, and it was a Creed song. It's just, I just like it. Yeah. So I'm got it really loud.
Yeah, my wife's been questioning some of my music choices lately on Spotify. You know, like some Moonshine Bandits.
Can I say something?
Yeah.
Is that the group that played in Oh Brother, Where Art Thou?
No, but.
Are you?
Maybe
oh, no, no.
It.
Are the Moonshine Bandits, are they the one that are kind of local that are?
Yeah, they're like.
They're hillbilly like rappers?
Hillbilly rappers, yeah.
Yes, okay. Yeah, I've seen them live.
Yeah.
I've seen them live. Uh-huh. Well, I'm trying to think, because in Oh Brother, Where Art Thou, there's some hillbilly songs, and I can't think of who it is, but I knew I'd heard that name. So I've seen the Moonshine Bandits live. I don't know if you.
Yeah.
At X-Fest?
No, I didn't go. Well, my son played at X Fest, but I didn't.
Really?
Yeah, he played at X Fest with his band once.
Oh,
but he was like one of the first opening cards or something early in the afternoon.
Yeah, when I was still working.
Yeah, when everybody's still working.
Yeah,
you know the bands. You know, they're still setting up food venues, and he's out there playing.
Yeah, well, I saw them, and I didn't know who they were. Uh-huh. And then they started singing. I was laughing so hard. It was hilarious.
Yeah.
Hillbilly rapper. And when I say hillbilly, they are hillbillies.
Oh, yeah.
And they are rappers.
Yeah.
It was one of the funniest things I'd ever seen. Yeah. And they sounded good.
Yeah,
they sounded
good.
Pretty good.
Yeah, Colt Ford is like that. I like Colt Ford, another hillbilly rapper.
Don't know.
Oh,
I'm not into rap that much.
Yeah.
I know Lita Ford.
Yeah.
She's a guitar player chick.
Yeah.
She played with I believe Joan Jett and
the Blackhearts.
No, with Joan Jett before they were Joan Jett and the Blackhearts.
Yeah,
Joan Jett, and I'm trying to think who the other girl was. There was one other girl that was in the band, and I want to say Josie Cotton. And I know it's not her. Yeah. And as soon as I get off, I'm going to go, oh yeah, it was her. But it's one of the other girl rockers that you would know, and it's not Pat Benatar.
Yeah, I know. Well, I don't know this person, but we know we had a former worker that we both worked with. That sings in a church choir, and the band that plays in the church choir that he's in, three of the musicians played for Tower of Power.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's totally cool.
Yeah.
That is totally cool.
Yeah.
Let's see. I'm going to tell you right now. It's Lita Ford and Joan Jett. And then I'm sure it'll tell me who the other one is that I went. Oh, the Runaways. That's the band, and
I've
it
heard
was
of that band.
Yeah, Lita Ford, Sandy West, Jackie Fox, Joan Jett. Oh, I guess it's just Joan Jett was the only one in there with Lita Ford.
Mm-hmm.
I thought there was another girl in there. Because there is another girl in there, but it's Sherry Curry, and I'm like, I don't know who that is, but it was just Joan Jett. Oh, Lita Ford. Well, no, I guess it was just Joan Jett and Lita Ford were the two that were in the Runaways.
Mm-hmm.
I thought there was a third one that was in their band.
Yeah.
But yeah, I like that. That was a good one.
Yeah, well, I got a few more.
And I'm looking forward to the I'm looking forward to what else you have now.
Yeah,
I'm thinking that when I get, because I was looking through some albums when I went to Japan, I bought a whole bunch of albums, and so I pulled out one, and it's got all the Japanese writing on it still, and all the, because it's still, I still have it in the plastic it came in. And so I'm looking at it going, oh, I forgot I bought it. Oh, yeah, I know I have this one. And I have at least four other ones that I, oh. So then you start to go down that rabbit hole. Oh, should I put this on? And putting it on, when I put it on the turntable, the first one I put on, I had the volume set at what I had at the for my previous turntable.
Yeah.
And it came out so much louder that I was like, oh, I got to turn this. It was
the first play of an album. So if that album had ever been played, is actually warmer and crisper than.
Well, than I put on the other night. I was, oh, you know what? After I recorded a couple things and I was getting ready for bed. Oh, you know what? I want to hear this. And I don't know if it's sitting here still. It doesn't look like it is. I put on, I don't know if you know, High Infidelity.
Heard of that? Or, I don't know if I've, I don't know. I might not recognize
it's REO Speedwagon.
Okay.
And
High Infidelity.
Yeah. From REO Speedwagon. And I put on Heard It. It's got Heard It, the side with Heard It From a Friend. The side, oh, yeah. I played earlier, and I was like, and I just cranked it, going, this is so awesome.
Yeah. That's reliving your high school
days. Yes. Anyway.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. Well, I hope we can bring in some more. I'm looking forward to see what you got. I'm enjoying this.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. You have anything else?
Not much. I think I do want to kind of do a shout out to my wife and wish her a happy anniversary. We just, before this recording session, we celebrated our 33rd wedding anniversary.
Nice. So, we and my wife did our 30th, what's today? 3 weeks ago. Yeah. 3.5 weeks ago.
Oh wow, we're pretty close then.
Yeah,
ours was just last week. So
yeah, ours was at the end of February. Mm-hmm. All right, cool.
Yeah.
Congratulations. I almost said her name. Wife's name. I almost said her. I'm like, oh, congratulations. Oh
yeah.
And so congratulations, Mr. and Mrs. Crafty.
Yeah. she'll live with that.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
All right. Well, say goodnight, Blob.
Goodnight, Blob.
Bye.
Later.